Thank you, Michael. We're going to, I guess, shift directions a little bit from stink bugs and move over to plant bugs for a couple talks this morning. Plant bug has become a very serious pest for us in Mississippi as well as other areas of the Mid-South. This slide showing the number of applications over the past several years for plant bugs in Mississippi. And as you can see, in 2007, that number increased dramatically compared to previous years. Now, there's several hypotheses that we have for why this occurred. Truthfully, we don't know exactly why we saw this big jump, but some of the things that I think about are, in 2006 was the first year that we really saw widespread resistance to acephate in tarnished plant bugs. So late in the season in 2006, we weren't controlling plant bugs as well as we were in previous years, so we had a very high population going into overwintering. Another thing is from 2006 to 2007, we had about a 60% reduction in our cotton acreage. Those plant bugs were still out there in the landscape on wild host, and when they moved into cotton in July and August, we had a much less area for those plant bugs to move into in terms of cotton. So those are two factors that I think impacted that tremendously. This is showing some data from Gordon Snodgrass from his resistance monitoring. And as you can see, it shows what I was talking about earlier. We had that big jump in resistance in 2006. It went down slightly in 2007, and that's probably as a result of the smaller cotton acreage. They just kind of got overwhelmed, or not overwhelmed, but we just had an influx of plant bugs from native hosts throughout the year that helped lower that or reduce that selection pressure in cotton somewhat. And this is just a slide that kind of shows that same thing. This is a summary slide that I made several years ago and have been adding to it, where it shows the efficacy trials from all states in the Mid-South that are reporting for plant bug control with ornithine and Bidrin. This is a combination of all rates and everything. It's just showing maximum percent control from those tests reported. And as you can see, since about 2001, the level of control that we've been getting with our organophosphates has been decreasing. In 2007, it was around 60%. And one thing I want to point out is that those earlier studies in the 90s and even into the early 2000s were using a third to a half a pound of compounds like Bidrin and ornithine, whereas now many of these studies are reporting 3/4 of a pound to a full pound of ornithine and a half a pound of Bidrin. So our rates have increased, but our efficacy continues to go down with these compounds. So one thing that we're having to do is find innovative ways to control plant bugs in the Mid-South. This is one thing that we kind of haphazardly discovered year before last, is that by mixing a pyrethroid with our organophosphates, the insects are resistant to both of these insecticides, but we do see a fairly significant level of control when we add a pyrethroid in, and that's what this slide's showing. Those solid bars are either neonicotinoids or ornithine by themselves, and then the hatch bars are those same compounds with a pyrethroid added, where the orange hash bar is indigo, which is a premix of centric and karate. The blue hatch bar is leverage, which is a premix of Trimax Pro and Bathroid. And then we looked at ornithine at a full pound by itself, and you can see by adding Brigade, which is a pyrethroid, to a half a pound of ornithine, we got better control than with a full pound of ornithine. So this is one thing that it's not going to be a sustainable thing that we can maintain, but it's kind of helping us get over the hump right now. Some other things that we're looking at is application intervals, and these are some data that we generated in 2007, and I'll set this up for you. What this slide is showing is that bar on the far left, it says pre-treatment. That's what our plant bug populations were before we made any insecticide applications. We oversprayed the entire test area with a half a pound of ornithine, and at 4 days after that, it dropped us down to 8 tarnished plant bugs per 6 row feet. So then we came in at different time intervals at 4 to 7 days and had replicated plots within that test area and made a second application with a half a pound of ornithine at different time intervals. And as you can see, where we made that application at 4 to 5 days, we improved control significantly compared to waiting to 6 and 7 days. At 6 and 7 days, control went down fairly rapidly. Another thing that we're encouraging for our growers is rotating insecticides. That's what this slide is showing. This is from a similar to that. It's the same field where we did the half a pound at different spray intervals, but this is where we replicated different treatments within the test area after we applied a half a pound of acephate. So all of the treatments had orthane for the first application. And then if you look at the red bar, there was no second application made to those plots. The green bar is orthane with a second application of orthane. And then the blue bar is orthane with our second application being made with Centric. As you can see, after that second application made at 5 days, it was 11, at 11 days, we reached our threshold again, which is 3 plant bugs per 6 row feet, where we applied 2 sequential applications of orthane. And then, but we were still below threshold, which is our blue line, where we applied Centric for that second application. So we're encouraging our growers to rotate them as much as possible. Right now, we don't have a lot of opportunities or options for rotations, but we're doing the best that we can. Another thing that we're looking at is some other cultural methods for controlling plant bugs. This is looking at the impact of crop maturity on plant bug management. And this slide is just showing plant bug numbers from our non-treated plots in 2007. And what this slide is showing is we have samples that are taken with a sweep net and a drop cloth, depending on if we were sampling during the pre-flowering period or flowering period. So the way I set this up was as a percentage of the threshold for each of those methods to develop some continuity between the numbers. And as you can see in 2007, as I mentioned, we had a tremendous plant bug year that year. In our 555 in late June, we reached nearly 800% of our threshold in our non-treated plots. And the majority of our problem was that late squaring, early flowering period during that year. But then you can see, this is looking at crop maturity, where 555 is a late maturing variety and 444 is an early maturing variety. Our 444 cut out about a week and a half earlier than the 555, and you can see the 555, which is that orange bar, we had another spike late in the season, and we had to make 2 additional applications to that later season variety. This is showing the yields in 2007, and as you can see, crop maturity did have a fairly significant impact on our yields. If you look at, and what this is that we have season-long control, early season control, and late season control. The season-long control was sprayed weekly from Pinhead Square, or actually twice weekly, from Pinhead Square to cutout. The early season control was sprayed from Pinhead Square to first flower, and then the late season control was sprayed from first flower to cutout. So if we look at the 444 during 2007, early season control was the most important component of our sprays. And if you look at the yellow bar on the 444, those plots were only sprayed from Pinhead Square to first flower and not from first flower to cutout. So that's where we got the majority of our yield losses, was from that early season period. If you look at the 555, it appears that both early season and late season control are very important for that later season variety. These are the data from 2008, and as you can see, our plant bug populations were a lot different. We had a spike late in the squaring period where we reached about 250% of our threshold with a sweep net, and then we had a spike again on both varieties in the mid-flowering period where we got up to about 350% of our threshold. And again, we sprayed the 555 2 more times than we did the 444 in this trial. Then this is showing the yields from that, and it looks completely different from 2007, and that's expected because our plant bug population and when they occurred were completely different. On the 444 in 2008, the late season control appeared to be more important than the early season control, which is the exact opposite of 2007. And then on the 444, any treatment on either the 444 and 555, season-long control improved our yields compared to the non-treated. Then on the 555, you can see, again, we had big differences in whether we sprayed early season and late season. And both early season and late season were both important for plant bug control. That season-long control gave us our highest yields in 2008. So a lot of it has to do with when the plant bugs occur in those fields. This is another experiment that we did a couple of years ago. It's similar to what Jack and some of them presented earlier with stink bugs, where we were doing sequential applications of insecticides. And what this slide is showing is where we initiated insecticide applications during different weeks of flowering, and we continued treating those plots at different times of the year. And this is showing the yields in pounds of lint per acre from that trial. You can see as we got later in the season, before we initiated insecticide applications, our yields went down significantly. And this is just showing just the opposite of that, where we terminated insecticide applications at different times. We started spraying everything at first flower and then stopped either at the second through the seventh weeks of flowering. And you can see it's the exact opposite trend, where the earlier we stopped spraying, we had our lowest yields, and as we continued spraying later in the flowering period, we increased yields. So putting those together, in my mind, just looking at that, I'm thinking that our critical period for when we're getting our greatest yield loss from tarnished plant bugs is during that third to sixth week of flowering, during the flowering period. And a lot of that's gonna change depending on when the plant bugs move into the crop. But just looking at the fruiting pattern of cotton, I think that's when we're gonna have the majority of susceptible fruiting structures, the medium-sized squares that they're gonna knock off and cause the greatest yield losses at that time. And this is just a slide showing the differences between sprayed and unsprayed areas for tarnished plant bugs. You can see a big difference there on the right where we don't spray. There's essentially nothing there to harvest. And on the left, it's fairly decent cotton. And in conjunction with that experiment, we did a lot of sampling for tarnished plant bugs. We did use just about every method possible and then tried to correlate that with yield to determine if we could find some other different sampling methods for plant bugs. And one thing that we found was that some of the plant-based measures like square retention and dirty squares gave us our best correlations with yield compared to some of the other methods. And this is just showing a dirty square. It's when a plant bug feeds on a fruiting structure, they'll defecate and it'll stain that flower bud, give it just a yellow stain. These are some data from a test that we set up to try to look at what our thresholds might be for dirty squares. I looked at 5, 10, and 20% dirty squares, compared that to a drop cloth, and a visual sample looking at squares only, and a visual sample looking at whole plants. And as you can see, the main point I wanted to make from this is that at 10% dirty squares in terms of yield and our number of applications correlated very well with our recommended drop cloth threshold of 3 plant bugs per 6 row feet. Angus did this same experiment in 2006. He didn't have quite as big a differences on yield, but you can see the same thing. The 10% dirty squares correlated very well with the 3 per 6 row feet on the drop cloth in terms of yield and number of applications. And then again, this is just showing from this past year, some really dramatic, this was really a fairly light plant bug year, but you can see the difference in yield. That cotton on the right was right around 2,000 pounds per acre. The cotton on the left was barely 200 pounds per acre. And these are both Bolgar 2 varieties. That's strictly tarnished plant bugs that did that. So in summary, our standard insecticides do not provide the same level of control they once did. Tank mixes and premixes are going to be very important in the short term. It's not going to be something that's sustainable, but using some of these other methods, it may help us get over the hump. We have been able to show that crop maturity does impact plant bug management, and our plant-based thresholds, such as dirty squares or square damage, will become more important given the current levels of resistance and with some of our newer insecticides that are coming out that have a slower activity in terms of mortality. So new management options No new management options will be available in the near future. Therefore, an integrated approach that relies on many different tactics in addition to chemical insecticides is going to be the only way that we're going to be able to effectively and economically manage tarnished plant bugs in the Mid-South. And with that, I'll end. I'd like to thank Cotton Incorporated for funding. And if there's any questions, if we have time, I'll be glad to address them.
Yeah, we got time for one question for Jeff. Thanks a lot, Jeff.
All right, thanks.